The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast.
Dr. Taz. Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the Dr. Taz Show. Today we will be talking all things breastfeeding, and I wish I had this help when I was having my children. So let me introduce you to Stephanie Nugent. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Stephanie is a registered nurse, a women's health nurse practitioner, and an international board certified lactation consultant with a Master of Science degree in nursing from the University of Cincinnati. So she's definitely qualified to talk about this. Her comprehensive knowledge in women's health stems from her career as a postpartum labor and delivery nurse specializing in high-risk antepartum and then working in the OBGYN office setting. She has spent her career caring for women in all stages of life, but has truly found her passion in helping mothers learn to breastfeed and seeing what a difference modern milk has made in the lives of so many new parents. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We are happy to have you and really ready to get your advice. I've got to start with a short personal story. You know, when I was having my children, my daughter's now 9 and my son is 8. And I really thought in a very sort of big ego way that having children and breastfeeding is a joke and it was going to be super easy because, of course, I'd been through residency. And what could be harder than residency and trying to become a doctor? And wow, was I kicked in the butt really quickly and found the entire, first of all, found that you're never really told or educated about the challenges that you may have while breastfeeding, and never also really told how physically demanding and depleting breastfeeding can be if you don't take proper precautions. And I'm hoping that by talking to you today, any of my moms-to-be or new moms will feel a little encouraged and maybe take some tips away and really understand, you know, the best way to approach breastfeeding and not have an experience like mine. So welcome to the show, and let's talk all things breastfeeding and kind of what you think you see as the biggest misconception when it comes to breastfeeding and where women really struggle.
Well, I think you kind of touched on that, and what I hear so much is, I thought it would just come natural, and it doesn't. And so it's a huge shock when you've spent all this time preparing for your labor and your birth and no time preparing for breastfeeding. And like you said, it's very physically demanding and it's time consuming. So then it's even more of a shock that, well, this isn't natural and now what do I do? So, you know, I think as a parent, you look at things differently than before you have kids. And so before you have kids, you're the best parent in the whole world. And then once you have kids, everything you learned and everything you know kind of goes out the window and you're in survival mode. And so I think what I like to do is teach moms about breastfeeding before baby comes, so they kind of know what to expect. And I teach the basics. I teach a 1.5 hour breastfeeding 101 class. And I talk about what breastfeeding is going to be like and how you can get off to a good start. And I think that helps so many moms to know, hey, I'm going to be nursing 8 to 12 times a day, and it might be an hour in between each feeding. And, you know, just knowing that ahead of time, I think is very helpful because you're somewhat prepared of what to anticipate.
How early does a new mom or a mom-to-be need to be thinking about sort of this preparation? I mean, I know, you know, most of us are great about picking out a pediatrician, looking at the hospital, doing, you know, a labor plan, all that other stuff. But when is that, in the last trimester they should be kind of prepping for breastfeeding, or when do you think it's an appropriate time?
That's what I usually recommend. Like last trimester, maybe a month before baby's due, so it's fresh in your mind. You know, any class that you can find in your area to take about breastfeeding is going to be helpful. And I think, you know, when you're seeing your OB, and I used to work in an OB office, mm-hmm. your appointment is 10 minutes and they're not going to talk to you about breastfeeding. They may say, do you plan on breastfeeding? Okay, good. And that's it. So it's not even in your mind to think to take a class unless somebody tells you.
That is so true. And what would be, so if you're in that last trimester, you know, the baby's coming soon, what are maybe the three things women can do in that last trimester other than, you know, sort of prepare and take a class that might make them ready for breastfeeding and how challenging it might be?
Yeah, I think getting the supplies that you need and just having a few things, you know, have your breast pump, take care of that before, you know, before baby comes. Once baby's here, you're going to be so busy and feel so overwhelmed. You're not going to be wanting to talk to insurance companies about breastfeeding.
Right.
Check with your insurance, because most people are getting them covered through insurance. And, you know, do that sooner rather than later. Some have different protocols. You may need a prescription or, you know, whatever they require. So take care of that. Get a few good nursing bras, some breast pads, and maybe a few things for sore nipples, like some hydrogel pads are great, mm-hmm. a good nipple butter. I like natural organic nipple butters versus lanolin. And for me, for the first month, you know, I could get by with like two comfy nursing bras and two comfy nursing tanks. And then I had one for the wash and one for the wear. And that was enough to get me through that first 4 weeks. So go out and get those. Now, for nursing bras, you want something that is stretchy and comfy enough to sleep in. You don't want anything fitted or like a cup-style bra. You're going to want to wait to get those. So you can just get a stretchy sleep bra, and that's going to be enough for those first 4 to 6 weeks. And then check out lactation consultants in your area. Just have a plan. If breastfeeding gets hard, you know, don't wait until your 6 week postpartum visit and ask your OB. They're not going to be much help to you in that area. Talk to your friends or talk to anybody that you know that's had a baby and say, hey, who did you go to for help for breastfeeding? And just know in your mind that you kind of have a safety net in case you have issues and you know who to call.
I think that's such great advice. So again, for our listeners, remember, go ahead and get your breast pumps, find your resources, you know, get the insurance piece taken care of all in that last trimester, and then have a few supplies on hand like nursing bras, nipple butter, things like that, so that you're ready to go. Now, the most frustrating part of breastfeeding is often those 4 to 6 weeks that you're referring to, because again, it's the physicality. I mean, you feed typically, and yeah. I'd be curious to see what you think of this, you typically feed a breastfed baby on demand. You know, I don't know what you think of trying to get them on a schedule and all those type of things, but that on demand can be every hour. It can be every 3 hours. I mean, it's so variable across the board. What's your advice to moms in that, you know, early, you know, newborn to 6 week phase where they're really trying to get that rhythm of breastfeeding down? You know, how do they manage that without, honestly, many just give up. That's where I feel like the majority of mothers give up, because it's so tough.
It's so hard. And, you know, a lot of moms want the magic answer. Say, you know what, it's okay. You don't have to feed them on demand. You can just, and you can sleep all night and, you know, have dad get up and feed the baby. And quite honestly, if you want breastfeeding to work out well, those things are not going to be in your favor to do. Feeding on demand is really going to set up the perfect milk supply. And baby regulates your milk supply because it's supply and demand. So if you put in the time and the strenuous hours and sleepless nights in the beginning, you're really setting yourself up for success down the road, because you're going to create a good milk supply. Struggling with your milk supply is so disheartening. And you're putting in all this time and effort, and all you want is to make enough milk for your baby. And when you don't, it's very frustrating, and then you're putting in more and more time, not only nursing, and then extra pumping to build that supply up. So I tell moms, in that first 4 to 6 weeks, it's going to be hard. It's going to suck, because, no pun intended, that baby needs to nurse on demand.
and I agree. I cannot
create that.
Yeah, I mean, I did not mean to interrupt you, but I cannot agree with you more, because honestly, I have so many moms coming in trying to get their babies on a schedule. And as a breastfed baby, we really honestly can't do that. And again, my personal experience is I wasn't able to do it, honestly, until the children were much older, like 3 or 4 months. It took that long to get there. But I can see how it can be such a place where people are like, okay, this is ridiculous. I'm up every night. I'm exhausted. But like you're saying, it seems like forever when you're in it, but it's a short snapshot when you compare it to the rest of the year or the first year of the child's life, you know? So if we can do anything today, just sort of really encourage those moms that have just had babies, they're exhausted, they're tired, they're frustrated, to just hang in there, because I know I've been there and
easier.
I remember it does get easier. I remember how tough it was. Now, when moms have a reduced milk supply, what are the most, beyond maybe not feeding frequently enough, what are some of the things that you see most commonly as causes for a reduced milk supply?
Yeah, so I think, you know, your milk supply establishes itself around 4 to 6 weeks. So if you're nursing on demand and things are starting off good with a good milk supply, then usually you don't have any issues. After that, a lot of things that I see are medications. So the most common one would be birth control. You definitely don't want to take estrogen-containing birth control pills. Progestin-only pills are said to be okay with breastfeeding. I have seen some progestin decrease mom's milk supply. So if you're noticing a correlation with that, you may want to stop that birth control pill and go to something of more of like a barrier type birth control in the meantime, just to see if that's causing the issue. Right now, cold and flu season, cold medications, allergy medications, anything that's going to dry up your nose is going to dry up your milk. So you want to avoid those medications. Also, sometimes moms notice once baby starts sleeping through the night that their supply dips a little bit. Now, ideally, your body will adjust and your body will be fine at night and you'll make enough milk during the day. My body did that just fine. I didn't have to get up and pump in the middle of the night. But I'll talk, when I do talk to moms and I meet with them and I say, hey, do you notice a correlation? Now baby's sleeping more? Has your supply dropped? And they say yes. Then those are the moms where we may think about considering adding in a nighttime pumping session to keep that supply up. So I would say when it comes to milk supply, just keep a close eye on things. If you have a hunch that maybe something's off or your supply is going down, troubleshoot of anything you've done differently. Are you cutting back calories? Are you working out more? Any of those things. And if you truly have a low milk supply, don't give up. Go see a lactation consultant because there are things that you can do to get it back up to where it used to be.
Definitely. And again, those are all such amazing tips. So remember, medications can trigger a drop in milk supply. Anything that maybe dehydrates you can trigger a drop in milk supply as well. Those are all things to think about, along with feeding the baby, you know, on demand and feeding frequently so your milk supply builds up. And as Stephanie's saying, your milk supply establishes itself somewhere between 4 and 6 weeks. So that's your sort of critical time frame. The only other thing I would add, and I'm, again, just curious to see what you think. I mean, I've noticed a couple of things, and some of this is coming from the other systems of medicine, like Ayurvedic medicine or Chinese medicine, where I have some training. And it's interesting to think about how they approach the mom, the new mom, in her first 40 days after childbirth. They really believe that that was a time to really nourish the mom, minimize her stress, and literally, you know, a patient joked that it was like a transition team comes in, you know, with the grandmother and other relatives to help care for this new child. So the breastfeeding mom is not as overtaxed or overburdened. And of course, none of us live necessarily that lifestyle today, but I think that 4 to 6 week is a period to rest, you know, is a period to recover and recuperate. So even from a food standpoint, you know, in these older cultures, they would do a lot of bone broth or soups, you know, a lot of high fat foods actually to help nourish the body and give the energy for breastfeeding and for recovery. How much of that do you see playing out? And also, kind of, what do you think of women who have children and then they're right back at work or they're right back in a fitness routine? Kind of, how does all of that affect breastfeeding?
Yeah, you know, it's hard. Nobody really takes care of themselves like they should anymore, me included. I think the foods, I get a lot of questions about the foods. And so, you know, there are some foods that have shown to increase and support milk supply. Oatmeal is a big one. Garlic, fennel, so lots of herbs and stuff that you normally would not eat in our regular diet. So adding in some of those foods can really help. You know, I think for moms trying to get back to their normal routine, there's a reason for that. And I think moms now, it's like they don't know what to do just taking care of a baby. Their mind kind of goes crazy a little bit. And so if you need to get out and you need to get back to that routine that you had or somewhat of that routine, if that's going to help you mentally, then I think that's going to be good for breastfeeding. Because there is kind of like that mind-body connection with breastfeeding. When mom is really stressed, then it does affect breastfeeding. And so whatever mom needs to do in that postpartum time, which you're going through so much emotionally, if getting out and being with your friends, if that's going to help you, do it. If you want to stay home and you want to shut everybody off and you just want to enjoy your baby and that's what you need right now, then do that. Just do whatever your body is telling you to do. Definitely don't rush into, you know, workout routine. There's no need for that right away. that part will come. All that stuff will come. And, you know, you just kind of need to learn your new normal and how you feel as a mom. And the more relaxed and just the less stress you have, the better that's going to be for your breast milk production.
And I think stress is such a big player, and I want to get to that in a second. I do want to ask you, I remember reading a study when I was breastfeeding and shortly thereafter, and again, I think the study looked at mothers who slept the night through, and most universally found that the moms that did sleep through the night and didn't wake up for at least one nighttime feed, typically their milk supply dropped steadily over the kind of, you know, ensuing months. And what that study suggested was that if you are breastfeeding and you want to maintain your milk supply, try to at least do one feed before 5 a.m. And it seems something critical with the hormone regulation and the hormone cycling, that if you could get that one feed in kind of before 5 a.m., then milk supply stayed stable. Do you see that in practice as well? Kind of, you do see that.
Absolutely. So that you get a prolactin surge like between 1 and 6 a.m. And so when I do have moms that are struggling with supply, I will tell them, get up at some time between those hours and pump. That's going to, you're going to get a lot of milk, and that's just going to help maintain that higher prolactin throughout the day.
So that is a definite tip, listeners. You know, if you are a new breastfeeding mom and you're noticing your supply is dropping, you know, between those hours of 1 and 6 a.m., try to at least get one, you know, one feed in or pump at least once, because that's going to keep your milk supply going and send the right signals, you know, to continue to produce milk. I do want to talk about stress, and then I'd love for our listeners to learn more about what you do with Modern Milk. I mean, when I went back to work again, you know, I can't remember exactly when I went back. I think I went back at 3 months with Rania, my daughter, and then I went back at maybe 6 weeks with my son, but in sort of a low-key way. But both times, and again, the nature of what I was doing in those days, I was in the emergency room, and then I was in the early days of my practice. But both times, once I went back to work, the story started to really get difficult. I found it difficult to produce enough milk. I found it difficult to feed the children. And, you know, within a couple months, you know, I was hardly producing anything. What is your advice to the working mom, the mom pumping under stressful conditions? Is there anything we can do as we juggle and try to be all these different things? What's your advice there?
Yeah, well, I think probably in your case, you had long shifts with not very many pumping opportunities throughout the day. Mm-hmm. I see that a lot with medical professionals. I used to be a labor and delivery nurse, and so there's days you can't. You don't even have time to go to the bathroom. So it depends on your job. And if you have to make it a priority to pump as many times as baby is feeding while you're gone. So if baby feeds 3 times, ideally you should pump 3 times. That's going to help maintain your milk supply as much as possible. The timing of the pumping isn't necessarily as important as just getting those pumping sessions in. So even if, you know, the only way I can get 3 pumping sessions is if the last 2 are like an hour apart. Well, it's better to do that than not do that session at all. So get in what you can. If you can upgrade to like a hospital grade rental pump, a lot of times those are going to be more efficient than your everyday pump. So if you're struggling with milk supply, I feel like that's an easy switch, because you're still putting an amount of the same amount of time and effort. You're just using a better pump. So I'll have moms say that they get, you know, 50% more milk just by using a different pump. So that's key. And then nursing baby when you are with baby. So on the evenings, weekends, or whenever you are home with baby, try to nurse as much as possible, because a lot of times babies are more efficient at removing milk from the breast. And so that's really going to help kind of boost your supply when you're not at work.
Those are all wonderful tips. And I hope our listeners, you know, especially if you're an expecting mom or a new mom and out there struggling with breastfeeding and maybe don't have a lot of support, I hope some of this information will be helpful. Stephanie, tell us a little bit about Modern Milk and what you're doing there and how maybe our listeners can benefit from some of your work.
Yeah, so Modern Milk is located in Scottsdale, Arizona. We've been there for about 2 years. It's kind of a unique concept. We call it a mom and baby wellness center, but it's a retail store. So we have a lot of breastfeeding products, newborn sleep products, cute fun stuff too. And then we have lactation consultants at our store. So we do consultations pretty much every day of the week. We do fitness classes. So we do a lot of our fitness classes are mommy and me classes. And we do prenatal yoga, mommy and baby yoga. We have a variety of things there. And we also do lots of educational classes. So, of course, we do breastfeeding. We have a variety of birthing classes, infant CPR. One of our most popular classes is called Will I Ever Sleep Again? And that's starting off good sleep habits from the beginning for baby. And then we just started a new program this year called Happy Mom School, which has really taken off. We're so excited about it. But it's an 8-week mommy and me group. And so we meet once a week. And it's the same moms every week. You bring your baby. We come in. We chat. We have coffee. And then we have a different expert come in and talk to our group each week. So we have physicians. We have nurse practitioners. We have sleep experts, infant massage. So it's a great avenue for camaraderie and meeting other moms and finding your support system, and then also just learning about your baby in that first year and all those changes and growth that your baby's going through. So we're really about just supporting moms with babies and parents too. Dads come to a lot of our classes, and you know, just doing what we can to help parents through that transition.
Well, I think that's amazing work. I definitely wish I'd had that support during my time, but I'm so happy for all the new moms and moms-to-be today. I feel like they have a lot more resources. Breastfeeding is more widely accepted, and I feel like there's just a lot of support. So please, wherever you are, don't suffer alone. Definitely reach out and find support within your community. Check out modernmilk.com to see other ways to help yourself and help your breastfeeding baby. And again, you know, having worked with children and adults and everyone, we still think breastfeeding is best. It's the best nutrition for your child, but it is tough. So get the help you need to make it successful. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining our show. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to having you on again in the future. And to our listeners, thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me.